Hello and welcome to Drive Time. This is a little bit of a short episode today, probably, but hey, welcome. This is my daily-ish show where I use the time I have from commuting, from dropping my kid off to school, and me going to the train station to start my actual work day to talk to you about. I mean, honestly, who the hell knows? It's always a toss-up. Today's episode is kind of a little bit about my time at PAX, and just some general feelings I had about the trip itself. I'm in the Boston area, so it was mostly just a ride on a train for me. But it was a cool time. I enjoyed walking around the show floor for the first time. I've been out here for 10 years, and surprisingly, I have only made it to one PAX. But the thing that I kind of wanted to talk about the most today is this notion that I heard when I attended the Giant Bomb panel. They announced at PAX that Jeff Grubb and Jeff Bacalar were finally able to kind of, I guess, buy out the entirety of their rights to Giant Bomb. And they're independent now. They bought it from Fandom, and they are the next outlet in a kind of long string, well, short string, I guess, of a more independent games media coverage, kind of breaking into this thing. And they've been around for 20 odd years now almost. But it's kind of nice to see them letting go of the corporate owners that, even here on Tuesday, you can see. I mean, they just posted their first quick look in God knows how long. I feel like a lot of the way that the games media has been going has been kind of, the way that most things have been going, really, where it's this line must go up in exponential kind of way. So it just means that shit like the quick look is, going the way of the dodo. That doesn't bring in all of the money because, you got to spend your time being in meetings and doing all the other stuff. So it's nice to see them kind of go indie at this point, and I hope it goes well for them. One of the big things that popped out of that PAX talk, though, that I was super excited to see them go independent. I think that the future of games coverage ends up being more independent. I think we see kind of just post-ish pandemic how the landscape has really changed. Like the economics of running a games website has kind of never been more difficult, it seems, or at least like not more fraught than it is now. And so I think going independent, except for the very few cases where, Schreier is at Bloomberg, and hopefully that stays going, and you have sites like IGN that are still kicking around, but there's not that many left with Polygon and Valve, that whole thing happening. But I think the big thing that came from that talk at PAX from the Giant Bomb folks is this notion that Grubb said that man, it like hits really hard. I like the sentiment a lot, and I really hope that this plays out because in my mind it makes sense that it will. But he said up on the stage that the concept of there being competition in the games media coverage situation, it's just not true. And it maybe never was, like when all of the ad dollars were flying around in the early 2000s, that was the case. You were competing for ad dollars and kind of PR contacts and stuff. But now, like most of these places are independent, like more independent outlets are popping up. And like especially as a person who is trying to run one of those independent outlets, hearing this idea that, hey, we're kind of all in this together now. Like they're axing the jobs like crazy, that, selling off one of the pillars of like pillars of games reporting, and take whatever you feel about Polygon, but like the fact that that thing was around and from all reports it seems profitable, it was like something to point to and say, hell yeah, like this can be done. Like it can be owned by a news organization. They can like pay writers to do good work and get it out there, and then to just wholesale sell that off to Valnet, a I mean, content mill, I guess, is like the best you can say about it. It's nice to hear Grubb get up on that stage and kind of hear a thing that I've heard from other places, that this notion of competition, like we're not competing, like that's not what the listener or viewer habits are anymore. I mean, I am Giant Bomb subscriber. I listen to Remap. I read Aftermath. I watch Nextlander. Like, dip my toe into Kinda Funny. Like, there are so many people doing, if you just put it down on a bullet point sheet of paper, like, oh, they're all doing the same thing. Like, they're all talking about video games, what they're playing, how they're playing it, and what the news is. But it's more than that, right? Like you go for the personalities, you go for even the personalities, like proclivities. Like if I want to hear something about Doom the Dark Ages that comes out this week, oh God, I think it comes out this week, I'm gonna go to Jeff Gerstmann. That dude has opinions about Doom post 2016 that I want to hear. And like I know that, like I've listened to him for a long time, and now that he's independent too, like it's good to just like get that, have those resources and go to them and say like, okay, like this dude's gonna say something about this. And it's nice to see that play out and see that kind of like reflected back by the people at those outlets. And it means that whatever kind of like frustration and also hope I have for 70% complete being a thing in the world, like it means that, okay, I don't have to be as concerned that as more outlets like this go, like Giant Bomb going independent and making their fee structure be $10 or $100 a year, like that's not taking $3 out of my pocket that would have been spent elsewhere. And I think you see that play out kind of just generally abroad the gaming landscape. A bunch of these podcasts and like video shows and everything, they have that little ticker on the bottom that will kind of show patron names or like usernames who have subscribed at like a certain dollar tier. They're like the higher dollar tiers. And you see those names and they stay there for month after month after month, and they're on multiple versions of this. It's weird to have this. It's weird to have a parasocial relationship with a podcast creator, or like a video personality that I've watched for a long time. But it's like extra weird to have this like pseudo relationship or like awareness of a Discord username that pops up from time to time. And like I will listen to one of my favorite like F1 podcasts, and they do like there's a cadence to how they say all of the like super backers from their Patreon. And when one of those people drops out, or if they like renew at a different time, I like the name is out of order, like it's a weird musical cadence, and like I know that name. But you see them across the different sites and different video platforms and stuff, and it makes me feel a little bit more hopeful about this as a going concern. Like I know that we're tiny, like we barely have a listenership. Thank you for listening to this. And like the readership is kind of small, and we're just kind of dipping our toes into this. Like I send out code requests for games. I've got a couple, but for the most part, it's radio silence. We just don't have, we're just not big like that right now. And I think we'll get there, but it obviously takes some time. But to know that I'm not watching this market become more saturated by other independent outlets, and then have to be concerned as much about like, okay, well, now the more outlets come in, the less money there is. But like, I just really don't think that that's how it works anymore. And I agree. I think this idea of competition is like not really, it's not a thing in the same way. And the thing that I think most about is, and man, I really can't remember his name, but he used to be the editor in chief of Wired. His last name's Kelly, maybe. And he had this notion that he wrote about, and it's called the 1,000 True Fans. And the idea is that, for something to be successful, like the level of sustainable success that, you look at something like Min-Max or the new Giant Bomb or even Remap, like to be sustainable, like not like fuck you money sustainable, but like this is work that I can do and get paid for this and feel good about it and kind of just like keep trucking along without having to like really kill myself with work. The notion is that you should have, it takes like 1,000 true fans to do that. Like 1,000 people who, no matter what, are going to show up for you and support you and either, be in the chat, talking to people, sharing your articles, buying your products, subscribing to your stuff. It takes 1,000 people. And, he published that article a couple years ago, probably closer to 10 years now. So, hey, maybe there's true fan inflation. So it's probably closer to 1,500 at this point. But I think about that, and then I think about this idea of no competition in the gaming space, where like we're all kind of working together to forward this and support one another and elevate one another when we can. And it becomes this kind of hive network of fans. Like, I mean, the reason that you are probably listening to this or had listened to one of our Codex episodes is because I posted this stuff in self-promotion channels on the platforms that I really enjoy. I'll show up and have a chat in the TWG section for the Into the Aether podcast, or I'll post this in Nextlander, and like people will talk about it. And like now I am like, are any of those people my true fans? I mean, hopefully. Hi, hello, how's it going? But if not, like it's also one of those things that these networks all work together. They're distributed, they're dare I say federated, but people, there's crossover, like in Discord will show you this, your crossover mutual Discord servers, and it all kind of works together. Like you're able to kind of make an audience or find a community within someone else's, and you can kind of build that from there, and you're all sharing. Like you may not be sharing the same money or the same subscribers with everyone, but like ultimately you're working together to make something cool. And I appreciate that. Like I think that rings true for me. And that's one of the big takeaways from this PAX trip in general, is that, I think that I went to PAX kind of being like, oh, look at me, I'm just kind of like a nobody. Like we're such a tiny outlet that like no one knows who we are, and bumping into people and trying to like talk to devs and stuff, like we're all just out there hustling. But it's not like no one's gonna look at me and say, ah, yes, IGN, I have a half hour to sit with you. It's like, hey, person who is giving me a handout for this cool game called GUG, do you have like 30 seconds to talk about your creature design? And like that's kind of it. And then when I left that PAX talk, the Giant Bomb panel, and then kind of walked around and had a nice long chat with a journalist that I ran into, it just became this thing where it's like, no, dude, like I'm here, I'm doing this, and Like this notion of no competition in games media and the idea that like we all need to work together and hold one another up, especially in this like really fucked up time, it makes sense, and it makes me feel probably more hopeful than I should for running such a small thing in an industry that seems to not give a shit about small outlets at all. But I don't know. The more I think about it, the more it just becomes this thing where it's like, no, I'm out here. I'm doing this. We're gonna do what we can, and maybe someday we'll make this actually a real monetized thing. But for now, I feel good about what we're doing, and I think that we're on the right track. And it's nice to know that, I think I went to the Remap meetup to just chat with Rob Zachney, Patrick Klepek, and Gia Contreras, and it was just a normal chill time, just hanging out and trying to have a conversation with someone that you have a weird parasocial relationship with. And as we were leaving, I just like said hey to Patrick because I was mostly hanging out with Rob, and I mentioned that like hey like I'm doing this thing, and like I'm the work that y'all are doing at Remap and like at Kotaku and Waypoint before then, like it's an inspiration to like see people still out here doing this thing after so long. Like if there weren't people who cared this much to keep going for 15, 20 years, like I don't think I would ever have the gumption to sit down and do it myself. And he said something that it's incredibly rote and is probably just like a nice thing that you say to someone, but it was very much a like, yeah, like no one else is going to write the thing that you want to write. Like, no one's going to make the stuff that you want to make. Like, if you want to see that out there, you just have to go do it. And I mean, I guess that's, I'm sitting here waiting for this train to show up. So we'll wrap this up. But I think that's it, man. Like, I really think that, like, no one's going to do the stuff that Logan and I are going to do with 70% complete. Like, they don't have the same friends that we do. They don't have the same perspective that we do. And a lot of that stuff is informed by what we watch, what we play, and who we listen to. But I think that that's the thing about creativity and making stuff that, no matter what you are influenced by, like you are just going to make the thing that you are going to make, and that can only come from you. And so, yeah, I think go out there and do it. So. Awesome. Thanks for hanging out, and we'll talk next time. See ya.